Albrecht, will you start us with a prayer, please?
God, we ask that you allow us to be receptive to the message Lincoln and Alec are about to carry. And thanks for just bringing us all here, and hopefully everybody's excited. Because, you know, if we're receptive, then
amen. So I'm equally as excited. I have to be careful to say that I'm not like more excited about anybody than anybody else. But Lincoln and Alec, like, they're gonna rock the second step because, well, that's just who they are and what they do, and they're fun and exciting, and you'll learn all this, if you don't already know this, in the next little while. So here's Lincoln and Alec.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
My name's Lincoln.
Hey, Lincoln.
Hey, Lincoln.
I was powerless over alcohol for, I'm 41 now, so almost half my life, and maybe 4 years or so, I was powerless over cocaine, and of course, plenty of other things I can see. I can see today how little any of how my life looked like or how I experienced my life had anything to do with the alcohol or the cocaine or any other thing. You know, I hear people say alcoholic thinking and all these things, and I had it really twisted up and switched around until I got in here and was carried through these steps, which I believe I was. I thought that I always drank because, or I did because I drank, or all these things, or if I stopped drinking and drinking, I am from Tennessee, y'all, sorry. but if I stopped drinking, and, you know, Carl did an incredible job of describing that, you know, if I stopped drinking, I just won't do this, or I'll do this less, or I'll, you know, be okay, everything will be all right. So all I'm trying to get at is it took me a second of mental and physical sobriety and working steps and talking with people to start to get a hold on of, you know, okay, this is, so here we are, this is me. This is how I experience life. Huh. You know what I mean? And then I could go on to see it, because as I just now told you, I was powerless over alcohol, cocaine. I could tell you the same thing with pornography, with sex, with spending money, with sugar, with food. It's all kind of the same thing. And it just happened to be the alcohol and cocaine that took me to a place where I was very close to physical death. But I'm sure you can get there with the other ones as well. But either way, all of that I think is kind of erroneous to a point once we get, you know, if you can get a hold of a first step and once we get provided with the proposition of, there's a couple ways you can read it just out of the book. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You can, you know, extrapolate a lot from that, that, you know, okay, that means I know I need power. If I'm looking to be restored to sanity, that could possibly lead me to think that, well, maybe I'm insane. And that whether it has anything to do with alcohol or anything other than that, I don't think matters too much. It's, do you really have the desire to be changed? Do you really believe that something outside, or not really outside of yourself, but something greater than yourself can facilitate that change? That there's actually a way out, no matter how deep and dark and dreary and all the things that happens to me and all these things, that there's actually a way that I can be everything I ever envisioned or thought was the perfect picture of humanity, or in my case, man. I can be that and more than I ever thought. And could it possibly, maybe, just maybe, be as simple as going through this book with somebody who has found sobriety and something greater than themselves through doing what's in the book, the way it's laid out, with a group of people and participating in a home group and doing all those things. Is that possible? In my experience, that's about all that's required. And it's, so it's also, too, I was joking with her before we were going to do this, the step two for me in my experience, and I participated heavily in AA and CA, and I sponsor legions of people and do all this stuff. I was wanting to be Captain King AA and all these things. Well, and I'm saying that just because I've heard a lot of his steps. I've seen a lot of other people's experience. I have my own experience. That about all that is required, and I love how one of our teachers used to say, it's like if you've had your ass torn up enough, you get pretty open-minded on the God idea. Mm-hmm. So this could be a two-minute talk. It's like, you know, so what if I said God? Are you going to say no? Well, then, okay, cool. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, I can't talk to you. I can't, because I can't talk you into anything. I can't tell you a story. I can't. I wish I could. Well, no, actually, I don't wish I could, because then you'd miss what I think you find through going through physically sober, the most terrifying and uncomfortable spaces of life you'll ever go in. Because I believe that's actually how we are changed. That's actually how we grow. That's actually how we come to appreciate even the seemingly small things like, wow, I hit the switch and lights come on. You know what I mean? And I'll try not to get, I used to have a really bad tendency of getting very esoteric and very heady with this stuff, which you can easily do when we start to talk about, and I use the word God, and if that offends you, I'm not going to give you my honest opinion. So, that being said, I think Carl and Lindsay both touched on it, what I found to be the most powerful thing of someone laying out this structure or this plan or this approach or these steps or however it makes sense to your brain is that one of the keys is I'm simply invited to over and over and over again to revisit what I currently think I believe about blank, take a look at it and see if possibly it's not true all the time. It's not a black and white. Truths change. Things change. I grow. Stuff shifts. And it may be just maybe if I ever want to continue to evolve and expand and get and do more than I ever thought possible, about all that's required is taking a current look of where I'm at and being able to say, well, maybe there's more. Or maybe we can be carried even further. But that, all that being said, for me, my experience was, growing up very Southern, very old school Southern. Grandmother grew up picking cotton, sleeping on dirt floors. I come from a long line of moonshiners and bootleggers, so Southern, old white Southern. And it was fire and brimstone. If you thought it, you already did it. You're going to hell. God is somewhere out there. God is definitely a man. You are not deserved of anything but shame and punishment, and anything that you want you have to earn, and all these type of things. So when I lived life until it was, you know, I was at the very bitter end of it, was literal, you know, doctors saying, hey man, if you don't stop drinking you're going to die in about 4 months. When I got to that point is what it took for me to say, okay, man, if you want to be sober and you're hooking up with what these people in this book's experience says and you're hooking up with me, your sponsor, and the other people you know at the meetings, and you believe it's possible, it's going to need to do something with God. I was like, sure, I don't care. You know, I don't care. I already thought I knew what God was, but I didn't care because I wanted something different. And it's been my experience that I get to continually find out what God is not, or how limited of an idea I had of God and all these things till we get to the part, and I never remember where it is in the book, but talking about the, you know, last analysis, we found that the great reality was deep down within us. And it's just mind-numbingly simple. It's unbelievably, incredibly simple. However, in my experience, it is required, because being in a position to say, okay, sure, if it's God, fine. You know, to take the next step, which obviously we're not going to talk about, but to me that was a vital turning point for me getting in here and starting to change. So, is that enough for now?
Sure. I'm Alec, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Alec.
Everybody, thank you, Carl and Lindsay, that was beautiful. And if only I could remember everything that y'all said. Thank God I don't have to. I just wanted to touch on this insanity piece for a second. So I had some, so like what was described so eloquently and what's talked about very thoroughly in like 50 plus pages in the book is this situation for someone like me where I have no control, I have no choice, and I have no access to power, okay? And this trifecta situation that becomes what step one is, it's not fun. It's the shittiest, worst news anybody could ever hear in their lives, all right? It's the worst news ever, all right? It's like way worse than you even thought bad news could be, right? And what's remarkable to me is I'm just so grateful for the second step. It's like as soon as I just get smacked up the face and like everywhere else and just into a billion broken pieces on the ground where this idea that I can drink like other people is just gone. It's just gone, right? All of a sudden, it's like you're invited. You're invited. And what you're invited to is to consider... And you don't even have to, I'm so glad when I got here, I didn't have to believe in anything. I didn't have to believe in anything, right? The invitation of step two is came to believe, you know? And when you're in that situation of no power, no choice, no control, there is no choice, no power or control, but to come to believe. That's all there is to do, okay? It's all there is to do. And I'm so glad that, you know, I had experience in the end of my drinking where I literally believed that the best thing to happen would be for somebody to lock me up somewhere because I'm going to be of harm to somebody else, myself. I don't know if I'm going to... I mean, were it not for alcohol, I would have committed homicide or suicide in my adolescence for sure. So thank God for those powers when they were there, and thank God there's another one, right? And the insanity piece, like I'm somebody who likes to look up words a lot because I don't know what they mean. I don't know what these things mean, and I use them all the time to communicate with you guys. And I think I know what we're talking about, and we just don't. And that's okay. I don't have to know what I'm talking about, you know. So I just wanted to just, you know, I'm also the kind of person when I first came on the book, I'm so glad that the doctor said there is also the individual who's normal in every respect except the effect that alcohol produces on him. Because I was so far gone when I came to the book, I was like, yeah, that's me. Super normal. Super normal in every way possible, except this weird thing that alcohol does. Right? And thank God for that, you know? Thank God for that. Thank God, like, I didn't have to be convinced that I was so insane somebody needed to lock me up. And thank God I came to the book and I was like, oh, cool. Okay, there's a place for us normies over here. You know what I mean? You know? So just this insane piece, right? So I don't know where I looked it up, and you can look it up on your own if you don't like these definitions. But insane is mentally disordered, okay? And I really like this one, right? It's like, oh, okay. Because I was so scared. I was insulted when I came up on the second step for the first time. I was like, oh, that's calling me insane. You know? And it's like, well, yeah, Alec, like, let's look at this insanity of the first drink that happens every time. Like, let's look at that. Disordered in your thinking a little around the first drink, you think? Okay, so disordered, right? Exhibiting a deranged state of mind or lack of understanding. Is it possible that what I'm suffering from is I'm disordered or I lack understanding? Okay? Is it possible that it prevents me from having the capacity? It's so cool. It says, a lack of understanding as prevents one from having the capacity or ability or power to enter into a particular relationship. That's all insanity means. I lack the understanding to have the ability to engage in a particular relationship, right? Extreme folly or unreasonableness. Is it possible that I'm unreasonable? Right? Is it possible that I'm utterly foolish? Right? Am I someone who exhibits extremes? These are synonyms to the word insane. It's not, I don't have to be in a straitjacket locked up in a padded room somewhere, okay? I'm someone who's unreasonable and disordered, all right? And the invitation of the second step is, hey, you're invited. Do you want to head in the direction of some sanity? Does that sound cool to you? A little order? Just a little order? You want to experience a little order? Maybe a little bit of reasonableness? Would that interest you? Right? And I'm so grateful that for someone like me who had a first step experience, there was no... Yeah, mm-hmm. Wants all of that. I'd like all of the Santa, you can just organize the hell out of here, okay? As quickly as possible, please. All right? So, and that's, to me, what's so cool about the second step, once again, is that it's not, you know, the situation, the trifecta of impossible, right? No choice, no control, no power. The solution that's suggested in the big book is not a restoration of choice and control. That's not what it is. Okay? The only option for someone who has lost the power of choice and control is access to power, whereby I don't need choice or control anymore. I don't need it because I have access to power. It's not like here I am, now I have power of choice and control anymore. It's no, those are lost. They're gone. What I have now is a way of life that provides me with access to power. So I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want control. I don't, you know? Every time I want control, ooh, it's real bad, real fast. You know what I mean? Okay. That's all I have for right now. Yeah.
Just checking on you guys. So I suppose what I would say is, I mean, I recognize most people in here, so, and I never quite know how to approach these deals because I'm still trying to figure out. I still will start to think, it's like, oh, you could say something different, and then it's actually going to help somebody, or they're like going to finally get it, and I don't believe that to be true. Step two, for me, when I first came in, I was convinced of that I could not live life. I was convinced the same line that Carl was talking about. I couldn't imagine life with or without alcohol, and so it was a very quick deal for me. I got a sponsor. I was in an IOP program, and the little assignment in our little group was to get a sponsor, and so I was going to be the best one in the group, and I was going to get the sponsor the first and the quickest. And so, sure enough, I did, and I started doing these steps. And I mean, it was, for me at the first, it was, you know, do you think you're powerless over alcohol, you know, and your life's unmanageable? I was like, yeah, yeah. And, you know, do you think a power greater yourself in your sword of sanity is? I'm like, yeah, I sure do. You have any problem turning it over, your will over that power? No, I don't. I don't care. And so, and then we were in inventory. It was very, very quick. And then for, I don't know, the next 3 or 4 years, I would go through the steps again once a year, and each time with different people, and really digging into stuff and, you know, going through. We used to do this exercise on 52, hear people talk about the bedevilments. And we'd go through the bedevilments trying to find our current agnosticism, which is all I was talking about earlier, too, is trying to find out where are you currently limiting God? Where are you currently convincing yourself of lies, saying, I can't, God won't, it's not, impossible, I'm just this, it's just that. You know, where is that stuff currently going on in your life? And this is something I can do any day of the week, any given time, and hopefully continue to do for a very, very long time, to where I'm finally to a space where the less I think I know about who or what God is, the better, like, period. And the simpler that I seem to be approaching it, or it is being presented to me, is just mind-numbingly simple. I don't know.
Well, and that's one I... For whatever reason, like, let's just say hypothetically, right? We're in this disordered state, okay? We're, like, highly disordered. We're super unreasonable, right? What the second step is doing, like I said, like, it's an invitation, right? And the invitation is toward, right, sanity, okay? It's directional. You get what I'm saying? Like, how does something go from a disordered state to an ordered one, right? Like, how does like your pile of dirty laundry go to an ordered state, right? Like, there's a direction. Like, it's like toward the washing machine, right? So, and to me, that's what's so cool about the second step. It's not like, and I love that the second step just continues to say over and over and over, like, I'm prejudiced, okay? I have prejudices. I have these unreasonable assumptions about what an experience is going to be like, right? Maybe I have some unreasonable assumptions about what God is or isn't, or what I am or what I'm not, or what you're going to say or do after I say or do whatever I'm about to do, or, right? Like, I have all of these things going on, and it's, the second step is so cool because it doesn't matter how limited my idea is. It's guaranteed to be limited. It's guaranteed. Whatever idea I have of God, it's going to be limited, and it's going to be it's going to be insufficient for me, right? So what do I need? Definitely not. I mean, I've used concepts before, and they're very useful and helpful to me. And if you're in a position where you need to come up with a concept of God to have an experience with, by all means do that, okay? I'm not discouraging that. But what's useful and helpful to me about the second step is that it's directional, okay? It's like now I have an aim, and I'm an aiming creature. That's why I have two eyeballs in the front of my face. And not, you get what I'm saying? I aim, okay? You give me a weapon, and I know how to aim with it, right? You give me a pencil, and I can write a letter. I'm an aiming creature. So what I need is an aim, and that's what I didn't have for all of those years of insanity and disorganization. And I didn't know how to get one. I didn't know how to, you know? I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I just got to get a job. You know, and it's like, yeah, and as soon as I have the job, here I am, and there's, you know what the problem is? It's the job. Got to get a different one. Okay? So, and what's so cool to me about the aiming and directional invitation of the second step is that it's one that will sustain me through time. It's one where it doesn't matter what the job is or how I'm showing up in the job. It doesn't matter if I got the car, don't got the car. Am I coming to believe? Am I willing to believe? Am I willing to consider that believing is better than not? What is it that I believe? Is it possible I'm wrong? Is it possible, maybe I'm not wrong completely, is it possible that 5% of what I believe is just needs a little adjustment? Is that possible? Is it possible that maybe I'm not so totally unbelievably insane? Is it possible that there's simply one area or aspect of my life where I'm experiencing a little insanity, right? Would it interest me to aim for sanity in that area or aspect of my life? And what would I need to do that? Does that make sense? Like, the second step, what's so cool to me is there's so many verbs in this step, right? It's like came. Verb, meaning to move towards something, to approach for a specified purpose, right? The specified purpose is sanity. Why? Because I need that. Okay? Like, right? Verb, to believe, okay? To accept as true or genuine or real. I want to come to believe that there is a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. I'd love that. That'd be awesome, right? One of the things, too, when I was, I don't know why I got all in this definition thing, but power, okay? Like, you know how we conceive, it's so easy for us to assume that, like, power means, like, might and force and control and grr and my exertion on you or your exertion on me, right? Like, we're, like, warring individuals, right? Power, when I actually looked up the word power, I thought this was the coolest thing ever. This is my experience of power would best be described of as what I'm about to read you, okay? It's the capacity for being acted upon or undergoing an effect, right? So when I'm sobering up over here, right? What I desperately need more than anything is a psychic change. I need a new brain, you know? I need a new being to be. I can't be. I need a new being. You get what I mean? So what's cool about the horror of the first step is that it's the only thing that's going to place someone like me in a position where I have the capacity for being acted upon or undergoing an effect. There's power there. Does that make sense? And meanwhile, before I got there, I'm too busy doing all this powering shit over here, right? The control and the manipulation and the this and the, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, I got to make him act a certain way for me to be okay or stop drinking or whatever. Like, you know? And here I am thinking that what I'm doing is willpower and whatever, you know? And I just need to try harder, right? And it's like, no, baby, no. Sit down. You know what I mean? It's like the capacity for being acted. And it's not being acted upon by some force or power that's going to come and maliciously victimize. You get what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, like let's be clear about that, because when it talks, in, you know, whoever's going to share about the third step tomorrow, it's care. There's this care thing where I'm like, what is that? Care? That's a thing? Like, what? Right? And thank God there's a God for that, because I don't know how to care properly, y'all. I'm going to shut up again for a second, apparently.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I was flipping through the book. You know, this has always stuck out to me, too, about the line where it's talking about that, you know, Columbus, that the world was flat until Columbus sailed, you know, and the people's minds were fettered with superstition and tradition. And it's been incredible to me that the more I do go through these steps, and the more I hope we're suggesting is to take a look at what you believe, and is it possible that you could be inaccurate, that the more I question what I believe is, I don't even know what I believe. Mm-hmm. And I certainly don't know where I got it from, maybe mm-hmm. other than society or predominantly my mother. And Alec talking about all that, the definitions with capacity and all that is, I had no capacity for anything in life. That's why I literally, all I was capable of doing was going to work, because I had these old beliefs that were fed to me. You know, a man goes to work, period. You work, it's good. And of course, I created this job for me where it was a 90-hour week plus job. That was all that existed. Because I'm doing good if I'm working. But I'm drinking the entire time. Until, you know, where the end, we just stayed up for 7 days straight drinking and going to work. Until I'm in the middle of a silent kitchen and I'm the only voice that ever speaks. And I'm sitting there turning around going, what? But I thought everything was good because you work. You know, and we'll just stop drinking. You know, I'll get 3 days off in a row or something and we can sleep and maybe won't drink or whatever. But I didn't have the capacity to do anything. No capacity to take ownership of my own life or my own actions or really to do anything. Because I didn't know how. I was a terrified child. Then I get sober and guess what? I'm still a terrified child in a 31-year-old man's body. So is this possible to actually access and begin to change and grow that? Do you think God can do that? It's important questions. Are you willing to jump and find out? Are you willing to believe that so powerful line that God is actually in here? It's not some abstract, I'm just going to speak freely. It's not some abstract thing out there outside of yourself that is waiting for you to perform properly. Mm-hmm. It is literally inside of me and you and every single person I'm looking at right now. I'm looking in the eyes of God. I'm hoping I can disturb you a little bit, too, on the God idea, and maybe you'll take some of these questions we're throwing out there and see what you find out. Because you can't make mistakes. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. How's that one feel? I didn't like that one because I wanted to be in a position where I was bad and I needed your help, so hopefully, preferably, a female could come in and fix it all. Absolutely. Last hostage I tried to take. I mean, that's insanity too, but it's also very, very simple. Didn't have the capacity, didn't have anything. I literally ran from my own life for the entirety of my life until I was smacked in a position to where, you know, are we going to do this or what are we going to do? And I tried to kill myself a few times. And It's just incredible. It's I do wish I could give, because you see all this. I've only been here a handful of years, but I've seen enough people come in, and you just sit back and scratch your head, and you go, you know, why? Like, why? Why in the hell was this literally seemingly like it was handed to me? And I do not know the answer to that question. If I could figure it out, I'd make something, probably try and make money off of it, and I'd get smacked down and hopefully, you know, get that ship turned around too. But it's just, it's literally incredible that God was never what I thought God was. And that the more I explore God and challenge what I think I believe and do things, like I didn't think, you know, I thought you had to pray a certain way or I was going to get struck to hell. I did. And it's crazy. First time somebody told me, it's like, well, you can curse, you know, talking to God. I was like, well, what? No, you can't do that. You know? And couldn't, had to hide the way. I thought in prayer, if you didn't say amen, he wouldn't grant your wish. You know what I mean? It was just, I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy. Crazy stuff. And what I've ultimately come to find out, and it's funny because if the truth is that God is deep down within each and every single one of us, that I can never be separate from God, that I never was separate from God, that it's a physical, virtual impossibility, then of course the relationship of what I think about God is what I think about you. Mm-hmm. I got to perform for you, or you're going to punish me. I can't be real. I can't show you who I am. You're only there to serve me. You're only there to do what I want you to do. You're only a thing. You're not even human. You're certainly not accessible or approachable or something to get in a relationship with. Because I've got this and I can take care of it. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's incorrect. Maybe, just maybe, you can say, you know what, why don't I try? I mean, that was some of the exercises you used to throw out. Write your own description of God or what you want God to be. You know, check back on it years later and have your jaw on the floor when you realize that, how limited that was. Because it's been my experience that is the only thing that has ever carried me through this. And I truly believe this because it's just been my experience, is that if you've been placed in a position and you did not die, and you got to see this information from someone who had the same experience of life as you had it, you will be carried through this. And that is the absolute, I mean, that's it. It's this constant experience of accessing, or at least being aware that God is right here, and there's nothing I can do to be separate from or be rid of God, or there's nothing that I can do to increase the amount of God or anything like that. And that I'm free to do what I want. I was telling, the way I envision God today is it's literally this experience of, if you want to put a form or figure to God, that, you know, myself in that form are sitting in a room, and it's like, okay, Link, what do you want to do today? Sometimes it's, you know, nothing, and God's like, okay, well, you know, read or something. Let me know if you want to, you know. And it's like, oh, you want to go do this? It's like, cool, let's go do it. Mm-hmm. You know? And then maybe sometimes, well, what do you really want to do? Well, I really want to, you know, I don't know, jump on a plane, go to Spain, or, you know, go do all this stuff. It's like, okay. So why don't you do that? Oh, but I can't. Are you sure? You know, and it's this constant, like constant thing of unlearning all these very self-defeating, very limiting beliefs I had about you, myself, and God, basically. And it gets really wild and it gets really crazy. And you end up sitting in front of people talking when you don't want to. Because this has always been my least favorite thing to do in any of the fellowships, because I always feel like I sound crazy. Maybe I am crazy.
Just like me, dude.
Yeah. So I don't know what else.
I can talk some more.
So you can talk?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a lot of time, too.
What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to mention something about how I actually... What makes sense to me is alcoholics drinking. And, like, drug addicts using drugs. And, like, what makes sense to me, what makes way too much sense to me, is a sober alcoholic killing themselves. Because this proposition of the second step, it ain't easy for somebody like me. You know? And I know that it's, you know, it's all, it's really fun and cool when I am in a position with this like genuine first step experience where I'm like, okay, let's go, like whatever, right? But like what's also true in some of my experiences is that I come up to two and I'm like, you know, spiritual health, really? Really? Oh, step work again? You know? Like coming to believe that there's some new or different power that I've not yet explored, it's not always really fun for me to think about, you know? It's not, I mean, and I love in We Agnostics where the book basically says, you know, our age is the age of technological advancement, and as soon as your iPhone breaks, you throw it in the trash and buy a new one, right? Like, why don't you so easily just discard your old ideas about God and reality and humanity and whatever and pick up new ones that work a little bit better, right? And it's like, why not, you know? And it would be awesome. Like, I would love to tell you, like, it's really just that simple, you know? But, like, for somebody like me, like, the whole first step experience of surrender thing internally it usually has to happen again before I'm willing to be like, okay, I don't know what God is, and let's go on a curious adventure to find out, you know? Like, I have to hate my life so much and literally be, I'm serious. I have to be, like, on the brink of, like, okay, is it time for me to kill myself?
Yeah.
Okay? And, like, maybe even seriously considering, like, various ways of doing that. Okay? Right? And for whatever reason, over and over and over, since the obsession to drink alcohol was removed from my brain, I'm like, curious adventure time. Okay. You know, like I'm just brought to this place where it's just like, why not? It's crazy too, because it's similar to this mental twist that Carl was describing, right? Where it used to be that I'd just be like, fuck it, and just drink, right? Where it's like now, it's the same mental twist, but in the direction of whatever God might be. It's nuts. It's nuts for somebody like me to, like, fuck it, might as well see what the hell God might be. You know? I don't know. Obviously, I don't know because I hate my life and want to die sober, right? Fuck it. Let's have a new experience. What the hell are these people doing, you know, on a Friday at Shanley Tucker Christian? I don't know. You know what I mean? And it's, once again, I'm just really grateful that it's an aim or a directional thing that works for somebody like me. Over time, no matter what I've come to believe, no matter what I've, you know, like uncovering and discovering that what I've believed for a really long time is just total BS, right? Like getting to have a brand, like that's what it is. Like this process for me is access to the renewing or regenerating power that is life. And I want to be recreated all the time. I don't know what I am. That's one thing that's so cool, too, is that in this experience of coming to believe in whatever God might be, like, I am so different than I thought I was, y'all. I am so different than I think I am right now. Like, there is so much more in here that won't be invited unless I participate in this directional, like, let's go see what it's like to talk about the second step at Shanley Tucker Fellowship on a Friday. You know what I mean? Like, I'm introduced to, like, aspects in there that I never knew existed. And I don't know about you, but, like, I really like to believe that whatever God might be really wants me to be introduced to these things. And I think maybe, just maybe, that God really wants you to be introduced to them, too. Okay, because I don't know how they're effectively helpful to you or whatever, and none of that's any of my business, right? It's just really cool, man. It's really cool to get to become a different thing than what I thought I was over and over again. And to get to learn that no matter what I know about God, if it doesn't have like practical application in my life, I can just discard it and pick up something that does, right? God isn't this like a theory. It's like, no, what's going to work for me to walk out the door? Okay? If it doesn't work for me to walk out the door, pick a new one. Okay? And I reserve the right to change my mind any time of day. 17 times a day, I can pick a brand new God. All right, what do I need to believe in to show up at work on time? Okay? And I know this might sound silly or funny or whatever, but hell, if it helps you to think that a dragon's chasing you to get your ass to work on time for the first time ever, run with it, man. You're delusional anyway. Might as well pick one up that'll get you to work on time. You get what I mean? I mean, come on. And that's what's so cool is that whatever the hell God is, like, I don't know what it is, but I'm really glad that it just allows me to have whatever experience I need to have. It doesn't matter. If what I need or want is to be punished and to perform my ass off until I'm just so tired that I can't do it anymore, God will allow me to do that. And guess what? God's there for me when I don't have an ounce of energy left to pick up my head, and, you know? And then what do I get to believe in? I believe that whatever God is, like, really wants me to rest now. And so I believe in that one. You get what I mean? And it can be this process. It doesn't have to be this, like, I'm married to Jesus for the rest of my life. Like, it just does. I mean, unless you really like that and that's really good for you. If that's really good for you, I support it 100%, okay? If that's what you love more than anything, I support you 100%. I just want you to know that, like, 100% of the time, you only always have permission to change your mind. You only always have permission to ask questions of yourself, of whatever God might be, of other human beings who are trying to have a relationship that continues in this direction of whatever sanity might be, right? And when you get there, let me know. You know, I'd love to hear Notes from Sanity Land. Sounds like a great book. I'll shut up.
All right, I'll say, I guess we have a couple minutes. So I just thought of my favorite way. Some dear friends from Texas always use, and they've got good AA in Texas, y'all, if you've never been. But she would always say that these 12 steps, well worked, will wake you up to the fact that you always have been, that you always will be, and that you are currently in the hands of a loving God. God loves you more than you can possibly begin to fathom. And anything that you want to do, you can literally do it. And all you got to do is find out what it is, what you want to do. She talks about aim. Mm-hmm. And whatever you want to do is okay. Go for it. Jump. You can do it. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to be in fear. You don't have to be questioning and wondering all the time in the state of want, and I'm never going to quite ever, and this is just okay enough for now. And okay, so thanks God, whatever. Play around with it. See what happens. Get uncomfortable, get scared, get snot-flinging, crying, puke. Go hug somebody you're scared of. Go talk to somebody who thinks less than you. Go talk to somebody who thinks better than you. Do something, do anything. You might be surprised how much you change. I'll leave you with one. This is my current favorite vision of God. This comes from a poet named Hafez from the 14th century. The title of the poem is Two Giant Fat People. God and I have become like two giant fat people living in a tiny boat. We keep bumping into each other and laughing. Well, thank you guys so much.
Bumping into each other.